Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 9:30 in 716.
One video, two very different interpretations.
He starts crawling away from the officer, stands up, to starts running away from the officer, and the officer puts two rounds in his back.
As a police officer, you do not have to wait until you are shot at or even have a gun pointed at you before you defend yourself.
Trust me, nobody wakes up in the morning and says, I'm going to work today because I'm going to take a human life. It just doesn't happen.
I'm Tim Wenger on 9:30 in 716. What happened in the early morning overnight hours last Wednesday? I was there shortly after police had responded to a call on Plymouth Avenue at the site of the old School 77. Police say they were dealing with a suspect with a handgun, and when that suspect, Rafael Pito Rivera, refused to put down the weapon, an officer fatally shot Rivera. Since that time, video evidence has surfaced from the offices of Push Buffalo, which is located inside the old School 77. The police have the video. And so, too, does the attorney for the victim's family.
Shortly after the shooting, one of the police officers, you could see him shining his cameras, and he saw that there were cameras on the building, but didn't know if they were working or not.
Steve Cohen is representing the family of Pito Rivera.
Deputy Commissioner Gramaglia made a statement concerning what happened, not knowing that we had video, and came out with a narrative that this officer had to shoot to save his own life, that there was a gun being pointed at him. And none of that is shown by the video. In fact, quite the contrary. So once the video was released to us, the organization called PUSH that rents that building had to retain counsel because the police threatened them that they had to turn over the hard drive and all copies of the video to the police. They retained counsel. And counsel said, no, you don't. This is your security footage. You can give copies to whoever subpoenas it. You know, you'll be required to. But you own the video. And the police obtained a grand jury warrant within hours of the shooting, which is bizarre, almost unprecedented in my lifetime, that said, you know, you are to give us the hard drive and copies of the video. Well, they did that, but they also had retained copies for themselves, and we obtained a copy.
Okay, so now you've seen this video, I'm sure more than once. Take us through, what do you see happening at this time when the officers are after Rivera?
Yeah, and I've seen it, and the family's authorized me to show it to, you know, anybody we deem appropriate, but not to have it played. You know, it would be unseemly, it would be in horribly poor taste to broadcast a homicide, a real live homicide, not a dramatization on television. So no one has the video that we know of other than we and the police. So many people have seen it. What it shows very, very clearly is a man running from Plymouth Avenue into the school parking lot, the former School 77 parking lot. He trips and stumbles, falls to the ground. We don't know if he's been hit by a bullet yet. He is followed by a police officer. When Pito gets up, he starts crawling away from the officer, stands up, to starts running away from the officer, and the officer puts two rounds in his back. You see the muzzle flashes. You could see Pito fall down dead. The police claim that there was a firearm in Mr. Rivera's hand. Well, that's not clearly visible from the video. We freeze framed it and we've tried blowing it up. We don't see it. They claim that if we had better tech like they have, we would see the firearm. At no time do you see anyone having tagged or bagged any evidence like a firearm. The video that we have goes for 35 minutes following Mr. Rivera's death, and at no time during that time do we see any evidence put into an evidence bag like a firearm. There may be an object on the ground. We can speculate what things are. Is it a cell phone? Is it a firearm? Is it anything? I don't know. But the police are trying to establish that he had a firearm. But one thing is crystal clear. At no time did Mr. Rivera, during the course of the video, ever level that firearm at another human being, if there was indeed a firearm. So the officer shot at Mr. Rivera when the officer was in no imminent danger of death.
Steve, did Rivera own a gun, and was it legally registered?
I don't have that information. The family is not aware of it.
You've described this video. You say you don't want to release it to the public because of the nature of what is inside, but what do you expect to happen with this, I guess you could call it newfound evidence going forward? What are your next steps?
Well, I'm turning over a copy to the Justice Department, to an FBI agent who I trust is going to follow the evidence where it takes them and is going to go into this impartially. Nobody likes to go after a police officer. Nobody likes to accuse a police officer of murder, and especially other law enforcement officers. But there are some officers that take the position that the evidence is what it is, and we'll do what's necessary. So we are giving a copy. I have the family's permission to do that to the FBI. The Erie County District Attorney, John Flynn, has a copy. I know that he's looking into it. And, the Buffalo Police has already made statements, even before they knew we had the video, that it was a righteous shoot, it was good. They didn't say it was under investigation. They're putting their wagons in a circle.
Cohen, as you've heard, not releasing the video, but allowing interested parties to view it. But should it be released to the public?
The legal difficulty is right now the original video is in the hands of the DA through a grand jury subpoena, which keeps that evidence, at least at this point, confidential.
Tom Burton is the attorney for the Buffalo police officer.
I have not seen the video, but it's my understanding what was shown to some of the media was a screenshot of the original video, and from what I understand, that it's pretty clear when it was enhanced by the authorities that a silvery object flew out of Mr. Rivera's hands, or his hand when he was shot.
The attorney for the family, Tom, says that there's never a point in the video where Rivera, the suspect or the victim, is pointing a firearm at anyone, but you know otherwise.
Well, it's very important to understand this. It was 3:00 in the morning. The officer involved was chasing Mr. Rivera, who clearly was identified with a handgun in his hand. An eyewitness at the scene that the officer didn't even know was there saw the handgun, thought there was going to be a gunfight between the two of them. And under New York law, you do, as a police officer, you do not have to wait until you are shot at or even have a gun pointed at you before you defend yourself. And before this officer fired multiple times, he told Mr. Rivera to drop the weapon, which he did not do.
What happens to the officer involved in this in the meantime? While these facts are coming out and you have an attorney saying one thing, what happens to that officer involved? Is he allowed to go about his job or not?
Well, at this point, the officer involved is on administrative leave. It's part of a protocol that's been in place for some time with Buffalo PD. It's not an adverse finding. It's just that they have the officer on administrative paid leave while different authorities look this case over. And in this matter, it's the Erie County District Attorney because a gun was recovered, and that stopped jurisdiction or eliminated jurisdiction from the Attorney General's office.
All right, so this is in the District Attorney's hands now. Do you expect that this would be quickly resolved?
Well, it'll, you know, this, the case has had some attention. I think District Attorney Flynn is pretty good with looking at these things. He's not afraid to make a decision. You know, in the past, there's been occasions where I've had officers involved in one of these things that have languished, in some instances, almost 3 years. In this instance, I'm sure the DA will put this on the front burner. He's going to gather the evidence from various sources, and it'll be up to the DA whether he wants to put it in front of a grand jury. By the way, if he does, my officer will waive immunity in a heartbeat and testify as to what happened.
All of this kind of coming from one surveillance video that was taken. In an instance like this, would it be helpful for all police officers to be wearing a body cam so we'd have more than just one angle to look at things and have, you know, in potentially different sides kind of point out to you things that they think are in the video rather than having different angles and you could say that's absolutely there?
I guess the answer to this, it may have helped, it may not have. In some instances, body cams are helpful, but not always. But in this instance, not only has a weapon been recovered, literally within feet of where the encounter took place, but in addition to the video that I understand shows the weapon coming out of Mr. Rivera's hand, there's an eyewitness that saw it, and on top of the other officers who were there. At least in this instance, from what I've seen, the proof doesn't get much better that this fellow had a handgun and refused to drop it when the officer responded to that man with a gun call up on the corner of Massachusetts and Plymouth.
Tom, let me ask you about officers' attitudes about video, whether it's surveillance video or body cam or dash cam video. The perception is that officers don't like it. Is that true?
I'm not sure. I've never done a poll on it. I usually get in the act after one of these deadly force encounters take place. My understanding that they had a pilot program and that's evolving right now with Buffalo. I don't think they're a bad thing as long as they're done fairly and, you know, some of the matters that, from an evidentiary standpoint, that have to stay confidential, stay confidential. All in all, I think it's a wave of the future and it's going to be pretty hard with the technology that's available to ignore the fact that these things are obviously a wave of the future.
You touched on it right there. Are you expecting in the very near future for all Buffalo police officers to be wearing these on a permanent basis?
I don't expect it. I wouldn't be surprised by it. It would be the fair way to go.
Video is a great tool, but it's not the end-all, according to a longtime veteran of the Buffalo Police.
When you talk about video, the video is only going to show you certain portions of what transpired. It's not going to show you the full story.
Miguel Rivera from Rivera Investigations, a law enforcement contributor for us here at WBEN.
I think that at this point, it is still too early to come out with any decisions. You know just as well as I do, when you start looking online and you see different videos of different things, you're not getting that full story. You're only getting a piece. You're not finding out what alluded to the incident or what transpired right after. You know, was there audio? Was there something else? You know, is there something in the video that you can't see? So understand tensions are high. Tensions are high on both sides. You know, you got a life that was lost. Some decisions were made, a deadly physical force was used, on both sides. It's traumatic, and it's unfortunate, of course. What does bother me though is that you have prominent attorneys coming forward, you have political associations coming forward, making statements. And again, this is just way too early. Instead of lending a hand to the community and opening their doors or bringing in some counselors or something like that, don't get on TV and start making statements that they have no idea about. It makes it really bad.
Yeah, for those reasons you mentioned, is it perhaps better that these videos, whether it be this case or some of the others we've seen around the country, kind of wait for a courtroom setting to be released for the public to see?
Absolutely. I mean, I understand it's traumatic. And when you start showing bits and pieces, tempers can go awry, false information can be put out there, You got people acting on things that they're making decisions on, and they're not getting the full information or the full video. So I think it's too early. I think the video needs to go in front of the investigators, the DA's office. Let them make the decision. You know, trust me, nobody wakes up in the morning and says, I'm going to work today because I'm going to take a human life. It just doesn't happen. You know, and if you think that's what's going on, there's something wrong with you, you know.
Miguel, let me just ask you about officers' attitudes toward surveillance video, even body cam videos.
Well, you know, body cam has come a long way. But we actually use it as a training tool as well. There's been times where you can go over traffic stops. You know, you can go over different calls and see how the calls either de-escalated or escalated and how the officer was able to deal with it. And the videos have come a long way. Some officers feel like, you know, this is just really bad. I can't do certain things. I can't help and go that extra mile for somebody, because then you say, well, you know, I'm not doing it for everybody. You know, what's going on with you? And so on and so forth. So there's pros and cons to it. I kind of like them. I think it gives that sense of insurance to the department. It does it to the public. And the officers need to understand that it is a very, very good training tool, you know, where you can go over things that have transpired and hopefully they don't happen again.
For the time being, the officer is off duty. The attorneys and investigators are working through the details, and, well, time will tell.
That's 930 in 716. We're back tomorrow with another edition from the studios of WBEN Buffalo.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.